And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 684. It's a Monday, so we are back to recap the week in Fab, talk about some other fantasy baseball goodness, and talk about just, you know, six more weeks of baseball, essentially, coming down the pipeline for us here. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, and my guest, as usual, on a Monday, you can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T-Bented. How are we doing, my friend?
Hey, Bubba, I'm doing great. Glad to be back for another week, and yeah, you mentioned the 6 weeks left. It's going to be a long 6 weeks for me. We didn't talk about it before we started recording, but I was dreading lineups for my one team at least today, thinking about it all day. Yeah, so once that's over, I'll be relieved. But hopefully my guys stop getting hurt as well. But it's got to chug along.
Yeah, I can only imagine because my three OCs, I'm first, second, and third in my three OCs. And like the one I'm in third of, I have like no chance of catching. The first teams are so far ahead, it'd be like the miracle of all miracles just to min cash, basically. But like the other two leagues, I'm like, okay, let's hold on to first. Let's at least get second or maybe creep, whatever. Let's make some money. Let's see where it goes. And I'm nervous just in that. What are you in the overalls right now by chance?
Yeah, well, I'm cashing in the overall, at least still in the main event. I slipped to 21st. I had a rough week with pitching. 21st, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I was like ninth, and then I think I went to 12th at the start of last week, and now I'm at 21st. I had Nick Lodolo in my lineup, so
that'll do it.
Yep, it took a big dent into my ERA and WHIP. And that's part of the reason why I was stressing. I'm like, I can't have another week like this, and I was trying to figure out, okay. And we'll get into this with our topic before we go cover Fab, but the pitching landscape isn't too rosy right now with the way teams are hitting, and I feel like it's been, I think, the last 3 weeks across my three main events, my ERAs and WHIP, my ERAs have all been above four for the week, for all three main events, all 3 weeks. It's been rough. It's kind of, I'm trying to like stop the bleeding, and so I'm still in a good spot with that main event. It's just I was stressing over the starts this week. I sat Max Fried. I don't trust him right now, and he's facing the Phillies. Just things like that where I'm making sure I really want to do what I ended up doing, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, weirdly enough, something I didn't expect to do until a half hour ago, setting my lineups, I sat Sonny Gray in not every league, but where I had other options, Sonny Gray was set, which I did not think I would be doing type things, facing the Twins, which is a coin flip of blow up or not type situation. So I understand where your head's at. Obviously not in the same position as 21st overall in the main event, and one or two good weeks to get away from being back in the top 10 probably. But yeah, I get it. It's we're getting to crunch time where there's still a lot of moving that can be made in the standings. There's no denying that, especially in an overall, there's still plenty of moving, but even in league context, there's plenty of movement that can be made. So but there's only so many more weeks to make that movement where it's making the, right out, like you said, these decisions become more and more important. And then there's like one league right is through every two-star guy out there because I just want to try to get strikeouts and wins and don't care about ratios. So that's where I've benched Brian Bayo, Sonny Gray, and one other guy I would never probably think of benching, for like DJ Hers, Joe Boyle, and somebody else. Like that's where we're at this time of the year. Like just give me strikeouts and pray to God you can maybe sneak a win out of there for me and don't get completely destroyed. Yeah, so it's that time of the year, Ben. It's a wonderful time of the year to just let it fly, basically.
Yep. And then also, too, you're going to talk about this tomorrow with Ryan, but you're drafting again already. So you're jumping ahead right into 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. Wednesday night, the meatballs too early. The DC, not mock draft, DC for the third year now.
It's real.
We'll kick off. It is real. We drew 11 rounds on Wednesday night. It's recorded live, and Rob usually puts it out as a podcast on his Deadpool header. And then like we'll recap it on Bubba and the Bloom. Everybody recaps it, even if they're not even in the league. So it'll be all over the place in no time. And you guys will make fun of us or not. Cause last year, like I'll talk about it with Ryan, like you said, in the first six, we only did seven rounds last year. My first two starting pitchers were Yuri Perez and Max Scherzer. And my closer was Adbert Alzolay. I'm in fifth place, I think, right now. So it's good.
That's great drafting on your part.
it's wild. Like, and John Fish, who we love, and he'll know this. He knows this is no harping on him. He's got like the best team outside of DuPont, who's crushing everybody. Fish has been really, really good, but he's had one starting pitcher or no starting pitchers for a while. He's not going to make his innings, so he's going to lose all of his like ratio points essentially. And I don't think he loses all pitching points, but it's like ratios and wins, or so I don't know. Maybe it's all. I can't remember. But it's just you draft this early between injuries and guys that actually all of a sudden don't make the team or something. It gets real, real quick in those DCs. And yeah, they're great for practicing. But when like I set one today where I didn't have a whole lot of decisions to be made, let's put it that way. It was pretty simple. Look for the guys without red next to their name, and you can start from there. So
I know the feeling.
Yep. But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that plenty, probably maybe even talk about it on this show. Who knows? There'll be plenty to talk about with that. But we're here to keep you going in 2024. We got a fun one for you. We were kind of brainstorming earlier, and Ben came up with a great concept of let's look at the remaining schedules for teams, not like go game by game, but we could technically, but we're not going to. We're going to kind of just do a broad spectrum. Like, this is the team. These are the opponents. These are the opponents WRC pluses they're facing, which is kind of what Ben tongue-in-cheek mentioned earlier about offenses kind of going off. And when you said that, Ben, I was thinking, you know, it's funny because when I write my daily matchups for Baseball HQ, I like to compare like pitchers facing X team. So it's like a team versus right-handed pitcher last 30 days. Here's their WRC plus. And watching baseball as much as we all do, we have good ideas how good or bad teams are. And so I'll think, oh, man, this team's horrible. But then they still have like a 107 WRC plus, and league average is like 100. Like, our average is 100. League average might not be 100 right now. Average is usually 100. So when they're still slightly above average, and you're thinking, man, if they're slightly above average, like, this is rough right now. It's kind of the point I'm trying to nail home here. So let's have some fun, Ben. Before we look at it, I mentioned a few things. Clarify if I missed anything. What are we looking at to help break down for the viewers, our listeners?
Sure, yeah. I'll try to make it as clear as possible. So we have a list of all 30 teams, and then in the next column over is the average of their opponents' WRC plus over the remaining 42 days of the season, including today, Monday. And the WRC plus I pulled is from July 20th through the 18th of August, so it's 30 days. And so we're using 30 days of data to look at the last 42 of the season. Roughly, so the teams typically are between 38 and 37 games remaining. I see maybe a couple 39s and a 36. So a little less than 40 games per team. And then we have a little drop down here. And then, so this is from the pitcher's perspective. So say the Angels, well, they have the best opponent WRC plus. So if we talk about the Angels, we're talking about who their pitchers will be facing in terms of offenses. So it's not a hitting centered discussion. It's going to be pitching centered. And then we're looking at the opponents in terms of how they're hitting over the last 30 days. So hopefully that was clear, and we'll talk about it more as we go through each team and maybe talk about the rotation options for these teams, or even who they're playing, and we'll get an idea of maybe where we want to target our starting pitching ads and FAB over the last 6 weeks, or I think it's 5 weeks now, five FAB periods are left.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the bigger take-homes here, because we already know there's going to be a lot of pitching changes over the next few weeks. Like, even the Tigers after Sunday night's game said Tarik Skubal is going to start being monitored. Like, the exact words from AJ Hinch's mouth, this could be his last start of the season. Like, that's the words that came out of his mouth. You got Crochet, we've already seen, is basically a four inning and out guy is what we're seeing. That's why he's been dropped in a lot of places. There's going to be much more to that. If Ronaldo Lopez didn't hit the IL, he'd probably already be getting shut down. Like, there's just a laundry list. And with Austin Riley's injury, Ronaldo Lopez still might get shut down, like, at this point. So there's a lot of these pitchers that can change, but definitely something we can go off here, like you said. So we'll just go down the list here, and we'll start with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They have 38 games remaining this season. It's just a little over a month of baseball. But fun schedule. You got the White Sox, Astros, Dodgers, Mariners, Rangers. So, of course, they're going to get a lot of the West Coast, but they get the White Sox twice, which is nice. You got Houston twice. You got Texas twice. You got the Red Hot Royals once. So, when you're looking at the Angels, like, Reed Detmers is a popular name coming up pretty soon. Even though he hasn't been great in the minors, he's been okay, and people just have that optimism from the past. The Angels don't scream like this is a team I'm looking forward to using, basically.
No, they really aren't. It's just, I guess, unfortunate luck that they have the best schedule based on how their opponents have done over the last 30 days looking forward. But so the one name that came to my mind, because I have invested in him in FAB, is Carson Fulmer. And even though he got crushed in his last start last week, he has a two start this week. I'm not exactly sure how this shakes out, because the teams you listed out aren't in order.
Kansas City at Toronto this week.
Yeah, so because of the Kansas City start, I sat Fulmer. I didn't want to mess with that, because he's more of a like a strict matchup play for me. But I remember looking at his schedule on RotoWire past this two-start week, and I think he may get the White Sox next. And like you mentioned, the Angels faced the White Sox twice. So I said, okay, well, if I don't have to cut him, I'm just going to hold on to him and hopefully be able to start him for that White Sox matchup. And then, unfortunately, also Jose Soriano went on the IL, which stinks, because he was their best pitcher. But I mean, I guess if you have Tyler Anderson, this is a good sign for you, because he is still pitching like 2022 Tyler Anderson. and which is a very good pitcher. And but like after that, they have Jack Kochanowicz. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Canning's still there.
Yep.
Canning hasn't been that good, but maybe he gets the White Sox a couple times. So I mean, yeah, not really. It's definitely deeper league stuff. I mean, Anderson's probably rostered in 12s right now because of how well he's pitching. But yeah, it's unfortunately they don't have better options. And if Detmers does get called up, I mean, if he's not already added, I would definitely target him in Fab.
Like for sure. And I'm using your handy dandy schedule grid sheet now that I see a purpose for it now, because you know it's very simple once I figured out what a filter is. Detroit and Seattle next week could lead to a streaming option. That's for sure. But more importantly, and this is definitely long-term, and again, a lot could change. The last week of the season's at the White Sox and against Texas, one team for sure is out of it, another team that might be out of it. So as we're saying, like the Angels probably aren't in play. This is why it's kind of fun to look ahead, and we can obviously look ahead closer to this, but definitely an angle where there might be some, like Carson Fulmer, I'm with you. I think there's strikeout potential. We've seen some goods and bads. I wanted nothing to do with him this week with the Royals on tap, like you said. But he's a guy that I could see down the road here being much more interested in. Like, just for fun, next week Carson Fulmer has Seattle, and that's kind of a coin tossy type situation. So that could be, as we get to the point of the year where, you know, some guys want to take two steps to just maximize counting numbers. Other guys want just one good start. So Fulmer might outweigh some two steps next week, potentially. Stuff like that. So, something to think about going forward. Oakland Athletics. This is a fun one because the team's kind of quieted down offensively, but I'm still pretty optimistic on what they got going there. We're talking pitching. And honestly, outside of facing the Yankees, maybe Houston, if you want to give them some love, not a hard schedule here. They got Detroit. Milwaukee's been a much better of late, though. I'll give them that much. Like Tampa, Texas, Cubs, more White Sox. They go to Great American, which is a little tricky, but overall not a very, very tough schedule. So what's your thoughts on the Oakland Athletics?
I think they might have a better schedule than the Angels, and I think it's just because of that Yankee matchup. The Yankees have a 134 WRC plus over the last 30 days, and other than that, the next highest is 110 with the Astros. But there's a lot of matchups here under 100, so I have definitely tried to get the A's on my team if you can afford it. But then looking at who there is, you mentioned him in earlier, I think, and that's Joe Boyle, or maybe that was before we started recording. He has a two-step this week, but he still scares me with the walks. But maybe in a really good matchup, I would maybe try to play him. And then Joey Estes has been pretty popular in 15s, Mitch Benz, and then their fifth starter right now is Osvaldo Vido, who I had bids in this past weekend. I don't think I ended up getting him, though. And, of course, JP Sears. So even without the good schedule, a lot of these guys have been useful in fantasy this year. And if you do have them, I would definitely try to hold on to them if you could going over these next few weeks.
Yep, 100% agree with you on that one. The Royals, they're coming up with a pretty fun one here. Third easiest schedule on paper right now. And their hardest matchup's Minnesota, who's kind of quieted down of late. They do have a Yankee series. They have a Houston series. But overall, it's pretty quiet. And that helps when you're in the Central Division. You probably play each Central team at least once or most of them to finish out the season, which is always good. So this is a prime spot for your Royals guys if you can find them. Most of them are probably rostered, but you might maybe Alec Marsh makes a return sometime this year. Thoughts on the Royals?
Yeah, I think for 12s, it's really just Lorenzen and Waka is the only potential guys available. Waka probably in like an OC is taken. But maybe in a Yahoo 12, he's available. Same with Lorenzen. He should be all their entire rotation's gone in 15s. I know, but yeah, this is more of a shallow league thing as well. And yeah, probably same case as the A's. Without the Yankee series, they probably have an even better WRC plus, and it may even be ahead of the Angels. But yeah, definitely. And so we're already on our third team, and we're at 99.5, which is almost, like you said earlier, is almost average in theory. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really say this, but we said it to talking about the topic for tonight is offense is up right now. And I mentioned with my ERAs and whips, it's you got to be careful right now. So I'm starting four relievers in that main event this week. And I considered starting AJ Puck as my fifth just because I'm trying to avoid those blowups. But yep. So the Royals are, like I said, they're mostly rostered in most formats. But if for whatever reason they are available, I would try to add them.
And to your point there about starting a bunch of relievers, it's something I've preached for a long time, and maybe it brings Garrett Crochet back into the mix. Like, I know people need wins, so at least you go relievers to get chances for win. Like, Crochet is not getting wins. There's no way that's happening the way they're utilizing him. But I've been, like, the biggest fan of go and get these, like, Tanner Scott could be fun. There's a lot of these really good – I still think Luis Garcia in Boston is going to be really good. We've seen Devin Williams get rest. So Joel Piamps has had some back-end stuff. Get you saves, could sneak you wins. I think going to get a lot of those eighth inning guys, even some seventh inning guys, could be tremendous. Some of the guys that maybe go two innings. I don't mind it once in a while throughout the season, but down the stretch here, I'm all for it, because you mentioned that the changing the landscape in the offense in baseball. And as the season goes on, we just get worse and worse pitching. That's just the way it goes. Like, you get a lot of guys getting called up. You got guys that should have been seventh or eighth starters when the season started into the rotation because of injuries. There's just a litany of these things. And you got the White Sox throwing out God knows what. So it makes it really, really tough to just put, you know, your quote-unquote standard five starting pitchers out every week and feel good about it. So definitely something to keep in mind going forward. You mentioned Chicago Cubs, 99.5 WRC plus opponent average, tied with the Royals for third best, 37 games on tap here. And they got a fun one because, you know, they're toughest. They have a lot of Yankees in the top stuff. That's even crazier that the Yankees, like, are in all of these ones up top. But, like, their toughest matchups on paper are the Yankees, the Oakland Athletics. Let that sink in for 2 seconds. Then the Dodgers, and then it's pretty much average teams outside of that. So the Cubs have been very disappointing offensively, but this could be a great finish for your Shoto Amanagas, your Justin Steeles. Does Kyle Hendricks become interesting? As Ryan likes to say, Javier Facade. The schedule lines up very good for the Cubs. And I know, like, your Javier Facades, your Hendricks for sure, they're available in a lot of 12s. So this is something to kind of keep in mind. And Taillon, like, in your Yahoo, is definitely available. He's been very good. So this is a rotation to potentially target and have availability on the wire.
Yeah, so Assad was available in one of my main events. I tried betting on him. I didn't get him. And he has a Detroit-Miami two-step this week. So they go Detroit-Miami. Next week they get Pittsburgh-Washington, then Pittsburgh again. So the next five series are just phenomenal if you have Cubs pitchers. And I probably should have been more aggressive for Kyle Hendricks. I did try to add him, which is amazing that I'm saying this. I wrote up Hendricks to him in my weekly article on Sports Ethos as a streamer. And so only in a 15, though, would I ever dare trying to add Hendricks at this point. And only if I was desperate for, like, a win and really had nothing else to lose. But yeah, this is a great schedule, and I'm assuming it's kind of top heavy. So maybe at the end, so after that pretty cake first half, it goes Yankees, Dodgers, at Colorado, Oakland, and the Phillies are in there. Yeah, so add your Cubs now, and then if you have Steele and Amanaga, do some praying or whatever you do, because it might get a little ugly in September.
And that's where it gets fun also, because we've seen it, Ben, playing this game enough. Those last 2 weeks, you'll see guys like Steele and Amanaga get dropped to fill other roster spots. And basically, for the listeners out there, don't be surprised when you see that. There's a reason, strategical reason behind that, obviously, because you're not just dropping these guys to get rid of them. They're not worth the roster spot to finish out your season is what it comes out to. So, like I always say in my head, because I'm a sarcastic person, is don't take it personally, guys. It's just a business thing. But, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. But good point on the final 2 weeks makes things not look as juicy, but pretty good for the next few, to say the least. It's actually better that they're all bunched up like that, honestly. Texas Rangers, they are the fifth one on the list here. They got 37 games coming up. And again, they have the Yankees as well, but they also have the red hot Diamondbacks. Ketel Marte is at the IL. So that mixes things up a little bit for Texas. I'm going to pull up their actual grid here now that I know how to use this whole thing. But I will say on Thursday of this week, Jacob deGrom starting a rehab assignment. So he's a guy that'll be coming back soon. Scherzer should be back in another week or two. So you got some of those arms coming back, not to mention Dane Dunning's spot starts a lot. So when you're looking at this schedule, Ben, what stands out to you of anything of interest, I should say? Because last week against Oakland and the Angels could be intriguing.
Yeah, it's definitely a highlight of the schedule. And before that, they get the Mariners. So that last week and a half could be a good time to target some Rangers pitchers. Yeah, so now we're getting a little bit more dicey, because I think, their 99.9 is the average WRC plus amongst their remaining games. Yeah, and they have the White Sox once, which is nice. I don't know if I trust the Guardians to stay that low because I know they've been running cold lately, but they could bounce back. And this one and the Rangers aren't as like bunched up like the Cubs were. So they go Pirates and then Indians this week, or Guardians, excuse me, and then White Sox, A's. Then they get the Yankees, Angels. So it's a little bit, you have to pick your spots a little bit more with them. And so you mentioned their injured pitchers coming back. Maybe this is a maybe so Molly won't have the easiest of times if he gets unlucky with who he faces, for example. Like, I'm not saying he actually has a bad schedule per se, but Evaldi, I mean, he's pretty fine as it is. But Bradford could be interesting depending on who he lines up against. And also one thing I wanted to mention too, which we didn't touch on at the beginning of discussing this, is the lefty-righty splits. So when I actually go to set my lineups, I look more at the I make sure I include the lefty-righty splits. So this is just general WRC plus, but if you're doing a weekly start decision, I always try to look at the handedness of my pitcher and then seeing how the opponents have been doing against those same pitchers. So just something to keep in mind too if you're trying to set your lineups in this kind of manner and are trying to do a more numbers-based approach behind it. And then I know Ryan's in the chat, but his boy Andrew Heaney may end up having some good spots, good starts too. But maybe he gets the Yankees, and then he's not so usable. But
I'm curious.
It's all up for debate.
I'm curious what they do with Heaney because last year, late in the season, when they had plenty of pitching, they moved him to the bullpen. He pitched well in the bullpen, but he moved to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. So curious, like when Scherzer gets back, when DeGrom gets back, if they get back. There's a lot of questions there, but it's a nice problem to have that crowded situation. A good point on the righty lefties. That's something I drill home playing DFS. I have it like in my brain at all times of starting and sitting and this and that and the other. And like some teams just crush lefties, suck first righties. Like there's so many different avenues to them. So like what you're saying about start and sit and whatnot. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have a league average, technically 100 WRC plus in opponents coming up to finish the season. Biggest opponent is the Yankees again and the Royals. Those are two of the big ones they're seeing here. But when it comes to like the last week's Milwaukee, New York, you can run from that. And then they have at Great America before that, probably get away from that. But, you know, before that, it's Texas, Cincy, Chicago, Cleveland, Chicago, Washington, Miami. That's the stretch right there. That's the fun. Like, I'll give them a 2-week stretch where things get real fun here in the middle. So, what are you liking with Pittsburgh potentially?
Well, I had Billy Falter rostered on a team or two, so maybe I'll hold on to him because of this. So, this is also helpful for us, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah, this is something as we're doing this, I'm like, I kind of want to do this all year for all season next year. It's an available tool, and I'll have to try to utilize it. But for listeners, Luis Ortiz is probably back in play. He had a 2-start this week. I rolled him out in my DC. He gets the Rangers and the Reds. At least the Reds are on the road. I know when they're in Cincinnati, it's a little more dangerous, and they're about a 91 combined WRC plus. So we don't have the Pirates getting a above average offense until they hit the Nationals, actually, which is in I think 2 or 3 weeks, and even the Marlins are at 100 right now. But I expect that to come down a little bit. So for the next like 3-4 weeks, the Pirates pitching has really good matchups, which is surprising. Too bad there's some better talent. But I mean, if you have Mitch Keller, who's been struggling, I'm on a main event. This is probably good for his outlook because maybe he'll kind of pitch like the Mitch Keller we're hoping to see. He had a rough start last time out, give I think maybe 8 runs or something. But I wouldn't trust Jake Woodford still. He's in the lineup right now, but this is good for Skeens as long as he's in the rotation, because I know there's talk about him maybe not finishing up the season. I mean, the Pirates don't have anything, they're not playing for anything really. And Skeens is so young and they want to preserve him as best possible. So I don't know who would fill his spot, but I mean, yeah, like I said, Falter, it's tough to speculate who they're going to call up. But
Jared Jones is making one more rehab start that he's returning as well. I'm guessing that's the Woodford role, but there's definitely like, there's already rumblings that we had talked about Scooble and, you know, Crochet. There are rumblings that Skeens might get shut down pretty soon too, which is just wild, but not unexpected in this era of baseball. But maybe they do. What if they do a Jones Skeens piggyback situation? My God, that'd be fun. But
it's a rough game if you're facing those guys.
Yeah, just take your medicine and walk into the locker room and tell your coach your shoulder's a little sore today. It's late, coach. I got a lot of bumps and bruises, but a long season. Is there any way I can just take this one off? But a little scene out of Major League, basically. It'd be a lot of fun on that one. All right, we got the Chicago White Sox. Really good. If they were a good team, this would be fun because they have a great set coming their way. You know, you got Baltimore. You got they got a lot of you know, Baltimore, Boston. You got the Padres mixed in there. This Mets team's been pretty good, but then they have like some bottom dwellers as well that they get to face. And it's a like this week it's Giants and then Detroit, which is you know flip coins. And it's Texas and the Mets. I'm worried about Baltimore, Boston. Stay far away. Cleveland, Oakland. But then you got the Angels, and then the Padres. The final week's Angels, Detroit. Again, it's the White Sox, so really who do you want anyways? But there are going to be some streaming options based on these matchups. Might not be two-step streams, but there's going to be some single-start streams throughout here that'll be a little interesting.
Yeah, and we mentioned Crochet earlier. So if you're in a position where you're set in wins and you have Crochet or it becomes available, I would definitely – well, there's also the chance that he gets shut down, but as long as Crochet is pitching – he has value as a like a Jose Buda, who we talked about in the past, like a pitcher like that, but even like a souped up version of Jose Buda, because Crochet can go four innings, and where Buda typically caps out at like three. But the other names like Chris Flexen, I really don't have any interest in. I mean, he's just so bad as a pitcher that I don't even want to mess with that with the great schedule. I guess the other options in the rotation right now are Kai Bush, Jonathan Cannon, and Davis Martin. Cannon and Martin are kind of interesting. I think Bush has a walk problem. When I remember looking at him in Fab because they had a good matchup. Yeah, and so, yeah, I guess the plays really are Cannon and Martin if they're in a good situation. And you kind of alluded to it. So they have really high highs, the White Sox, and really low lows. So it's just making sure you find the right time to add those couple pitchers.
Yeah, like even next week with Crochet before he maybe gets quote-unquote shut down or whatever – like you said, if you don't need wins, on paper, Crochet gets Texas and the Mets. And when you have an ace, you know, you usually don't worry about who they're facing. If he's going to give me eight innings next week, hopefully at least a K an inning and not get destroyed. Now, before this last outing, he was getting destroyed. So pick your poison there. But it could be one of those weeks where he gets you good, like eight innings of good ratios with 10 Ks, just no wins. And that's not, I mean, you know, Ryan, if he's in the chat, ban the win. We've seen a lot of 7-8 inning starts with 10 Ks is not to get a win already. So, like, how does that hurt you with a guy like Garrett Crochet? So, just something to think about when you're looking into Fab coming up this week. That could be something that kind of skews the list a little bit. All right, we got the Baltimore Orioles. We know they have a great offense. And they have Eflin has made that pitching staff really strong. Toughest matchups they have coming up here at Boston, at the Yankees, of course, because they're in the East here. Other than that, man, they get Detroit twice. They get the White Sox, and then they get some kind of middling teams, the Rockies as well, in Coors, which it's not the same situation it once was. So when you're looking at this one, Ben, how do you break down this Baltimore list? Because on paper, the matchups aren't too tricky. It's just, I guess it's where the cookie crumbles on the matchups, but as a whole, not a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's just the tough ones are the Astros. I'm not worried about the Giants. Sorry to say that.
No, don't blame you one bit. I'm the most narcissistic one out there, so fully support that comment.
Yeah, in Fenway is a tough one. I would try to avoid that if possible. The Dodgers. So like Twins and the Mets and the Astros are intriguing because they're all about 110 right now. I could see the Mets. The Mets are very streaky, and then also with the Twins as well. Like we would say, the Twins have the line change. But, Kramer was available in one of my main events, Dean Kramer. He's someone you really got to be careful with because we're starting to get into a little bit higher WRC pluses overall. And then
– Albert Suarez scares me still.
So the problem is I added Albert Suarez. I think I had three teams last week. I haven't played him yet. And I'm sitting him mostly for the Astros start, which is at this upcoming weekend. And so, like, his underlying numbers are great, Suarez's, but it's just that he had the walk problems in the past, and then now we're seeing how the schedule has its soft spots, but it's like 50-50 really good offenses versus really bad ones. And yeah. I'm not going to drop Suarez because of this. I mean, when he's pitching well, he's great, but it's just I haven't been able to start him yet. I mean, watch, he'll go off on my bench now after he's one of the guys I ended up sitting in that main event, but the Astros have been even hotter lately. I think I was looking at it earlier. Let me try to pull it up quickly. They're like at 130 over the last 2 weeks, WRC plus.
They're scorching.
It was like 137 exactly, actually, versus right-handed pitchers. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not starting Suarez versus that one. But, yeah, he's probably the toughest one because Rodgers is like a no. I'm only playing him in a DC.
He already gave up a two-run homer in the first inning on Monday night. So Rodgers, no. Yeah, no.
And Burns got blown up yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, so yeah, the Orioles aren't in a good spot with the rotation right now. Eflin's, like you said, he's been the best one lately. And I know it also, like, it always comes down to how this rotation actually lines up and who gets which matchups. But you're starting to get a little more rocky waters with as we go farther down the list.
Yep. And we won't go through every team, but we'll go through that's the top nine teams. We'll do a few more of the top teams, and we'll sneak to the bottom for potential places. You might, like I kind of joked about the Cubs, you might see like a steal or something drop the last couple weeks. These might be some teams to kind of be wary of, is what I'm going to try to say. I'm not going to say you have to drop for certain pitchers, but you might not use them very much. As Ben was saying, he's picked up Suarez a couple weeks ago, hasn't used him yet. And you start to get to the point of the season, like, why did I spend money on him if I'm not going to use him? And then you drop him, and then he goes off, like you said. It never fails. It's a, you know, tradition like any other. But that's where we're at on this kind of deal. Cincinnati Reds are the 10th team with the quote-unquote best matchups to finish the season. And this shows you, like, how tricky things are now. They faced the Braves, who are obviously depleted, but still rate out well going into this. But they also lost Austin Riley's for the year. Albie's probably donezo, so on and so forth. They have Houston. They have Milwaukee, who's heating up. They have Oakland. They have Atlanta again. Then they have Minnesota and the Mets. Like, that's not the easiest schedule on the planet when it comes to Cincinnati. And this is the 10th, quote-unquote, best schedule we have. And to make it worse, it's like Oakland-Milwaukee week. No, like, none of them. Maybe St. Louis-Minnesota is a week you can look at, but there's really no locked in the final week of the year. They only play five games. So that makes it even worse. So this is a real tricky one here with Cincinnati. Plus, you get the Great American Small Park factor. this is the 10th best one, Ben.
So this is making me think about dropping Nick Lodolo.
He's been that bad already. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, because he's pitching for the against the Pirates on the weekend. Then he probably gets the Brewers, and then he gets the Astros or the Mets. Yeah, it's getting ugly now, and
He gets Oakland next week, and then that lines him up for a two-step, whatever that following week is. Let's see, after Oakland. So a two-step, Houston and the Mets, most likely. If it's not that two-step, it would be Atlanta, Minnesota.
The other thing, though, too, is that I didn't pay attention enough to this. Started setting my lineups with Lodolo, but he's the reverse Nestor Cortes. So Cortes is dominant at home. Lodolo is dominant on the road, and so I started him again this week, Lodolo, because he's on the road against the Pirates. So I'm like, if he can't beat the Pirates or at least be okay against them on the road, then that means I can't play him anymore until he figures it out. But it could be like a Suarez situation where maybe I have to drop Lodolo instead. I don't know. But yeah, this looking at this now, it makes me question having him even on a 15. And I remember I picked Lodolo as one of my bold predictions when we did that earlier in the year as being a top 20 starter. And he started out pretty well. It's just that once he got those injuries, it kind of all fell apart. But after their rotation is rough, though, the Reds, they have Abbott, Julian Aguiar replaced.
Yeah, he just got called up to relays on green, yeah.
Yep, and then Carson Spears has been kind of came out of nowhere. I think he had a couple of rough starts. So and then Nick Martinez has had a great two-start week, but we kind of know who he is. And after Lodolo and Abbott's been okay, but that's a rough rotation. So I don't know if I'd be targeting Reds pitchers right now.
Yeah, and that's, again, folks, I'm not going to repeat myself here. The 10th best on paper schedule remaining is that. So we're going to flip it over to the bottom now to the worst remaining schedule potentially. And we'll start with my San Francisco Giants, who ranked 30th on this list. And similar to the Albert Suarez conversation Ben was having in his head, Hayden Birdsong has been very close to a drop for me. Like, I'm very optimistic in the skills. But after that, like, two-week break without throwing, because the Giants make zero sense to me. Even if he's in the minors, pitch. Like, what are we doing here? Since then, he has not been the same since he's come back up. I'm holding out hope he can find rhythm and put together a couple good starts. But he's just sitting on my bench. And now looking at this, Ben, this does not give a ringing endorsement here. The D-backs, again, red hot. Miami heating up. Milwaukee's on fire. Padres. Arizona again. Baltimore, Royals, good Lord. Padres again, Milwaukee again. That's murderer's row. Like, Snell's the only guy I probably trust in that whole rotation right now. And I guarantee you, one of those starts does not go well for Blake Snell. So That's going to be a tough way to finish. When you've been trusting Snell for the second half of the year, and you're like 2 weeks out, and he goes into that matchup and just gets throttled, that's going to hurt a lot. That's all I'm going to say. And I have Snell, and I will be throttled, but it's going to suck.
Yeah, it'll happen. I was thinking about how it'd be interesting to see how Snell finishes out the year because he's been on fire lately. And this is, like we said, the toughest projected matchup or schedule remaining. And the only really good team is they have one series versus the White Sox, and that's it. And then the Cardinals are 99.2.
Right, that's these three games.
Yeah. So it's going to be a rough bubble here on out, it looks like. But also, too, like if you have Logan Webb, like I do on a couple DCs, you have to start him. He's got to hope that he can pitch like the ace you were hoping he would be. And he's had his moments, Webb, of being hot and cold. But for him, I think unless you're in a really shallow league, then you're probably going to start him. But yeah, like Robbie Ray might not be worth the fab. Harrison is kind of slowing down. And I do have Birdsong still, so I might have to look to drop him after this week because I did play him against the Mariners. But yep, it's going to be at least the way things look now, it'll be rough for the Giants to close out the year.
Yeah, that for the pitching staff of the San Francisco Giants, Alex Cobb might be glad he got traded and put on the IL in Cleveland right about now. So I think he's probably happy about that one. We'll see. I know Tristan Beck is rehabbing. Maybe he gets a spot start here. Not saying pick him up. I'm just saying it might stretch things out for these guys not to all get torched so often. But that is a tough setup of teams that a lot of them are going to the playoffs or fighting for a playoff spot. Yeah, that's going to be a fun September. I can't wait. Second worst schedule, the New York Mets, which is kind of ironic, Ben, because they were like on every best schedule as like the best team that guys were facing. They had like a 120 off the top of my head, WRC plus or something. But they got Baltimore, they have Boston, Arizona, the White Sox are their easiest matchup again, Milwaukee, Philly, San Diego, Toronto's kind of heating up. So this does not bode well because Paul Blackburn was a popular two-step. That kind of goes backward. It makes me think about my Sean Manaea situation because I've been a big fan. He's been pitching phenomenal this year. He faced Baltimore this week in a one-step. I sat him next week, though, two-step at Arizona, at the White Sox. You got to do it because of the White Sox start. But that's kind of where this is setting up for the Mets pitchers. There's going to be a lot of maybe one good one and then a really rough one coming your direction.
Yeah, they get the Phillies. So Phillies and Braves 3 out of 4 weeks, and then to end the year, plus the Brewers after that. So 4 out of 5, it's Phillies, Braves, and Brewers. But with the Braves, though, like they just lost Riley, so it could be a little bit easier matchup, but still. You never know with like, Ozuna still in the lineup and Olsen, and now Harris is back. And yeah, they have a very similar setup to the Giants. The only difference really is that instead of having a 99 point whatever it was in the Cardinals, they have the 90.3 Reds, the Mets. But their rotation is full of middling pitchers. I mean, Severino's through a gem, but his underlying K and walk rates don't really align with how well he's been pitching, I think. And you point out Manaea. Blackburn was a big fab ad, but maybe now he isn't really worth it. Then we got Peterson, who's not very good, and Quintana, I have him still on a couple teams, but I might have to drop him too. But I mean, also some of these teams could be better against righties versus lefties.
Big time. Yes.
So just also keep that in mind too, before you go to drop someone. Like I said before, it's overall, it's the outlook isn't too positive, but you may find that one of these teams struggles versus lefties or maybe even a righty. But if they're on this list and they face righties more often, it's probably going to be the lefty side where you're going to find some chinks in the armor. So to speak.
100% agree on that one. We'll look at a few more here. We'll go third worst option here. The Houston Astros of all teams. They're getting Verlander back on Wednesday too. But again, they have Arizona, Boston, Kansas City, Baltimore, San Diego, Philadelphia. So some murderers row in this one. But it's like Boston at Baltimore this week, Philadelphia, Kansas City next week, Cincinnati, Arizona. But they get Oakland and the Angels for a set of games. Then you get Angels, Seattle, Cleveland to end the year. So the last like 2.5-3 weeks actually aren't that bad for Houston.
Yeah, it's with the Padres, you got to avoid the Padres. And then once if you can do that, then you'd be okay. But at least for now, you might have to be careful with Spencer Arrighetti. Yes. I think he's the big standout in their rotation. Well, Verlander's not back. Let me pull up the Astros rotation.
He comes back Wednesday.
Oh, he actually is coming back. Okay.
Yeah, he's coming back Wednesday. They have not announced how, if they're going to go six man or if Arrigetti gets bounced. I'm assuming Arrigetti gets bounced, but because I don't think Hunter Brown's leaving unless Renel Blanco's hands. Like, there's a lot of what ifs. We'll find that out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess it would be Arrigetti then. So maybe you get saved by having him sent down to the minors or something, or move to the bullpen, because Brown's been really good, and this could hurt him for sure if he gets lined up with, in the wrong spots. But yeah, it's Boston, Baltimore, Philly, KC in the next four 2 weeks. That's brutal. So
yep.
That's most of the WRC plus. That's like an average of 119 with those matchups. So if they can get through that, it'll definitely be better.
After those first 2 weeks, not actually that bad. Like, if anything, maybe give Arrigetti a little breather and let him come back for the final month of the year. See what happens. And if someone drops him, grab him for a buck and stash if you can. Who knows? But because he will be back. Like, I don't think Verlander's going to stay healthy, but that's just me being me. All right. Tampa Bay Rays at the fourth best offense here. Our worst schedule, I'd say, against the fourth best offense. Boston, Minnesota, San Diego, Baltimore. Boston again. That's, and you know, got the Dodgers, and even the A's have a better WRC plus than the Dodgers. I love seeing that, but makes for a fun one there. And then if you look at the schedule, you get at Oakland, at LA, Seattle, San Diego, Minnesota, Baltimore. But then the final week of the season is Detroit and Boston. And the only reason I throw Boston in there is if somehow they've clinched something, that gets interesting. But otherwise, it seems like there's at least one tough matchup each week.
Yeah, and there's only really two easy ones. It's just the Guardians and those Tigers that you mentioned. And everyone else is at least at least league average. So it's a little bit trickier there. But like with the A's and the Mariners, they could come down a little bit and be below average. And like I mentioned with the Twins earlier, you never know. But well, at least with the Twins, I feel like a lefty would probably be better against them because they're so lefty heavy. And then when they platoon, they really dig into their bench a little bit. But in terms of starters, I know Uncle Ted mentioned Rasmussen. I don't know if there's a spot for him right now. He's coming back from Tommy John. I mean, Springs could have a rough go at it. I like Taj Bradley. He's prone to blowups with the homers and stuff and the hard hits. So could be a little rocky for guys like him. I don't know how Shane Baz is doing, but he could end up having a rough time too. And Ryan Pepio is back, but he's one of the most dominant of pitchers. And then, your boy, Tyler Alexander, the follower. So
yep.
I don't know how useful he'll be with these matchups. But like I said, if some of them are weak against lefties, then maybe an Alexander will have value and could be useful. But yeah, it's definitely got to pick your spot still with the Rays matchups.
Yeah, if he only has to go three innings or something, I feel better about that than some of these other options. Like, give me one chance through the order or something and see what he can pull off there, maybe sneak me a win. But yeah, it's not ideal in Tampa. What's never ideal is Colorado, unless you like Victor Vodnik to close out games. But the Rockies get the D-backs, the Orioles, Dodgers, Miami, Atlanta, Dodgers, Milwaukee, Yankees. Like, that's not to mention they have Miami comes to Colorado, Baltimore comes to Colorado, Cubs, Arizona, they finished the season with six at home against St. Louis and the Dodgers. I'm just going to say, without even looking at the schedule, I should have said it. Don't start Rocky starting pitching.
Yeah, so basically all the home starts are wiped out. That's D-backs, Orioles, Dodgers.
It's rough.
And then at Atlanta, no. The only one really is at Detroit.
At Detroit. If you can somehow pray that. But who would – okay, let's just – I'm going to have fun with this thing. So I'm going to ask you, Ben, just looking at who they have in their rotation right now. Gomber, Gordon, Quantrill, Freeland, Feltner. Freeland's the only one I would semi-trust in that whole situation.
Yeah, we talked about Freeland a week or two ago.
He's been serviceable even home. But I just don't – that schedule doesn't make me want to go spend more than a buck on him, and no. My ratios better be okay.
I am definitely not stashing Kyle Freeland for any of these matchups, that's for sure. Maybe the Nationals, I don't know. Like, they're slightly above average, but they're usually a streaming target. Yeah, so if you – if Ryan has Ryan Feltner, you can probably drop him finally. I'm just kidding. But, he's not even pitching right now. Well, he got hurt, actually, so can't even use that joke. Yeah, so just skip over the Rockies like usual.
Yep, just skip over them and – I guess see what happens is the nicest way I can put it. And then the last one we'll talk about here, this is the sixth worst setup here, is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They got Dodgers, Milwaukee, Mets, Padres, Astros, Milwaukee again. Like, that's a pretty rough schedule for a team fighting for playoff livelihoods here. And I don't see any weeks that really – they at Colorado might be their best setup. Final week of the year, San Francisco, San Diego, if you trust the San Diego matchups. But as a whole, things don't look real great there for Arizona.
They don't. And if you have Jordan Montgomery, it may be cause to drop him, unless you're me and you have him in D.C. and you can't drop him, unfortunately. But, yeah, like the best out, the best matchup is the Marlins right now, these next 3 days. And then, yeah, it's rough. I mean, Gallen's been struggling. He is fighting injuries, it feels like, constantly. And they got Merrill Kelly back, but he got roughed up in his first game. It kind of puts a damper on Brandon Pfaadt, who I have in my OLAC. At least he pitches tonight, and he had the two-start week, which I started him for, even though he's at Boston on the weekend. But, yeah, it's tough. Like, Erod, I mean, I don't know if you can trust Erod coming back after not pitching all year. So they're finally healthy, the rotation in Arizona, but now they get this pretty rough schedule to try to prove, okay, how are you guys doing now? They're healthy.
Pretty rough. And I lied. We'll do one here because Boston's sitting right here. And Boston has an interesting rotation situation, so I want to bring this up for just a second. Because the Boston Red Sox, they face Arizona, Baltimore, Minnesota, Houston, Mets, Yankees. You can even throw the Jays in there. They face every team in the AL East, so that'll spark up some fun right out the gate. But you look at it, it's like Houston, Arizona, and it's Toronto, Detroit. Okay, that might be one of their better weeks. Mets and the White Sox, that's not bad. And then it's Baltimore, the Yankees, Rays, Twins, Jays, Rays. So why I ask this is you have Brian Bayo, who's basically been a quality start guy, 6 innings, 3 earned, kind of what he's been doing. You have Tanner Houck getting blown up. You have Cutter Crawford, who's like three quarters of the time feels like he's getting blown up these days. This rotation is getting just demolished. James Paxton's on the AL probably for the betterment of everybody involved. I'm trying to look real quick. So it's how Pivetta's been shaky. They got Cooper Criswell in the rotation. So that's why I ask you, who do we trust in Boston with a schedule like this?
I mean, they all really have homer problems except for Bayo. So, and Bayo's, like you said, he's been the best of late. But so looking at where they are, so they get the D-backs at home, they get the Orioles at home, so those are pretty bad matchups right there. And then but the Twins are tricky because they have good hitters, but they're lefty. I feel like their versus righty lineup is worse, or I guess is better for them. And but in Fenway though, you have the deep right field, so I don't know how much that'll matter. I don't know, that one's tricky. It's really just the White Sox matchup, and then the Tigers are the easiest ones, and then you get the Rays twice, and they're kind of a streaming target right now, but they have some hot hitters and they're about league average. It's I actually just – we'll talk about it in Fab when we go over our ads, but I actually Fab Cutter in a main event. He was dropped just in case something changed. But now that I'm looking at the schedule, I don't know how often I would play him anyway. We should have done this last week. But, yeah, it's especially at the home park, like the run scoring environment at Fenway is so great that – you really got to target those road matchups, and maybe like the Astros, but the Astros are on fire right now. The Mets could be a good opponent, and then they go to Yankee Stadium, so that's kind of out of the question too. It's tough. Maybe the Blue Jays matchup, but that's about it. It's definitely tough for the Red Sox going forward.
Yep, most definitely. So that's why I just wanted to bring that one up, because I would understand seeing Cutter Crawford. Okay, I'm going to add him because maybe I don't start him every game, but he's got he's got a ceiling. But he's also shown his floor. So it's a tough rotation to, like I said, I sat Bayo in a couple leagues this week where I had, I wanted saves or something else. Or I just said, you know, I need a two-star guy. There's like DJ Hers, Joe Boyle. Just let's go. Cross your fingers. Don't watch the game and see what happens. Yeah, it's getting interesting. And if you do a full year next year on this thing, it'll be real interesting to see. Maybe like the first episode of every month was kind of do a quick run through of just like a month schedule and see like what's worth looking at, because it is interesting to see how the cookie crumbles on this one, and it's to see where it goes. All right, let's recap some Fab from week 22 here. It was another fun week. Is the people are focusing more and more on fantasy football. It's becoming clearer and clearer as we do things each week. Certain leagues next to nothing. It's getting even more fun than it was before, Ben. But we're going to start in OCs as we do, 12-team leagues for those that somehow are new at this point of the year. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us. But Zebby Matthews, the most added player this past week, been 184 leagues, as high as 110, as low as a dollar. Dude threw 5 innings, 2 runs, no walks, 5 Ks in his debut. Zebby Matthews started the season in single A, high A, went single A, double A, triple A, 114 Ks in 97 innings with 7 total walks. So the command was very much on display in the minors and in his debut. What was your thoughts on Zebby Matthews? He had a 2-step this week, starting with the Padres, which is not always the easiest, but that command plays for me, and it was very, very enticing.
It was, and he went for a lot, and I was outbid on Matthews, which is fine because, like you mentioned, he had the 2-step week with the Padres. I think tonight is when when they start pitching. Yep. So that kind of kept my bids in check, because if I was going to add him, I really wanted to start him, and I prefer a better matchup, especially for a young pitcher. Like the Cardinals matchup is fine. They still have good hitters, but there's kind of like a league average offense we were kind of referring to in the previous segment. But yeah, I wrote about Matthews as an ad in my article for this past Sunday. And I think he's kind of safe in the Twins rotation. I haven't heard anything about Paddock coming back. Who else is gone? Joe Ryan's out for probably the year.
I think he's done for the year.
Yeah. Desclafani's gone. Varland's in there with him, or he was actually Varland's
he, back he in the got minors. Called up and back to the minors. Yeah.
Yep. So Varland's out of the question. So yeah. So I think Matthew's role is safe. It's just, I love the profile. It was just more of the matchup was why I didn't go too aggressive in Fab, but I'm not sure where the Twins stood in our little exercise there. They're like middle of the pack, their opponents rest of the year, but like they get the Orioles, they get the Royals and the Red Sox after the facing the Padres. So not the worst. I mean, they have some good matchups here and there, but yeah, I like Matthews. He definitely, like I said, he was out of my budget for where I am in the season in Fab.
Yeah. I think I got a couple shares, but it was one of those situations where, you know, OCs. That's all I gotta say. Basically, it just I don't have a lot of money either, so I didn't expect to get them. Somehow did. So cool. Sir Anthony Dominguez, second most added player, 150 leagues, as high as $100, as low as a buck. Dominguez has 3 saves over his last 3 outings. He's allowed 1 earned run or less in every outing since July 20th. Been very, very effective. Came over to the O's at the trade deadline and took over quickly for the struggling Craig Kimbrel. I loved targeting Sir Anthony where you needed him. I got a couple shares of him as well. I think he's locked in for the rest of the year, and it's a team that actually can win a lot of games. So what's your thoughts on Sir Anthony Dominguez?
Yeah, he might be the last legit closer ad of the year without an injury, I guess, but it seems like a lot of things are shored up, and I could see using a significant amount of your Fab adding Dominguez if you did need a closer, and maybe you were Craig Kimbrel manager. So that's the easy switch right there. And yeah, so Dominguez has the last 2 saves last Wednesday and then this yesterday. So it seems like he's the guy. That's 2 in a row, and he didn't pitch at all between them. So it looks like they're saving him for their save chances, which is a great sign. And I remember I drafted Dominguez in my simulation league way back when he was a rookie, and he was going to be the closer for the Phillies, but then he ended up getting injured. So it's good to see him back and in the closer role, because he was really good when he first got called up, and now he seems to have found it again. But yeah, the prices aren't too crazy. I don't think here it's when you need a closer, you need a closer. And $100 at this point isn't really too much, I don't think. Some of the guys are going for more than that last week. And Dominguez might be one of the better skill-wise closers that we've seen up here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Ryan Walker went for a ton last week. I take Sir Anthony all day over Ryan Walker. And I'm a Giants
fan.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Context. Like, I think Walker's a good reliever. I think he's very good. But context, the Orioles on paper should have a ton more chances than the Giants at this situation. So I'll take my chances on that one, but hey, could be wrong. Giants could, you know, they're just annoying enough to win by 1 a lot.
Well, they have that tough schedule we just talked about. So that's a good point though.
Could put a damper on that as well. The next one, I'm really curious to get your opinion on this, 'cause I did not even put a bid in on Matthew Boyd. I was so torn on what to do with Matthew Boyd. He was picked up in 141 leagues, as high as 91, as low as a dollar. Came back 5 1/3, 1 earned run, 6 Ks against the Cubs. That's outstanding. in the minors this year in rehab, five rehab starts, 21 and two-thirds innings, a .083 ERA, 27 Ks, looked phenomenal. Tons of injury history, though, right now with Matthew Boyd. And his two-step this week was at the Yankees and versus the Texas Rangers. And just to make matters more fun, he gets the Pirates next week to maybe lighten the load. But I was just overall nervous on health, matchups. I didn't know what to expect with Boyd, so I kind of sat back on that one. What were you doing with Matthew Boyd?
I had him behind Zebby Matthews in my bids, and for the same reason you mentioned too, is it was the two-step. So if I was going to add Boyd, I wanted to start him, especially for a two-start week, and the Yankees matchup has kind of really caused me to lower my bids on him, and I didn't get Boyd anywhere. And so Boyd's interesting because people think he's so much better than he's shown to be in his career, and when I do my article each week, I do two pitchers based on just like what I call merit. And it was Boyd and Matthews just because like they were new to the player pool and they're by far the best options available in the main event with the threshold that I use. But with Boyd though, so like when I wrote about him, I looked back at his career stats and he's had 1 year below a 4 ERA and that was in 78 innings in 2021. And he had a 1.27 whip to go with that 3.89 ERA. Other than that, he's always been above 4 with his ERA. And I think it comes down to in 2019, he had 238 strikeouts in 185 innings with a 4.56 ERA and a 1.23 whip. Granted, that was literally the heart of the juice ball era. So you can't really blame Boyd for that. But I mean, the only appeal he's ever had was strikeouts. And that was his only season where he had full season where he had more strikeouts than innings pitched. And it was by a lot. So I think people are remembering that 2019 year. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, right now you only need him for 6 weeks. I get it. But he's never been that good of a pitcher. So I think the idea of Matthew Boyd is always better than the actual pitcher Matthew Boyd. And I remember being interested in him in the past when he first got called up and was like a rookie and whatnot. But yeah, I don't like he's not that good, Boyd. It's just I think I wrote like it's a familiar face and he's a better option than a lot of these other guys who are available. So I get it, but that's why I didn't want to go too crazy with the Fab. He's not that good of a pitcher historically, and I don't see why now he'd be any better.
See, Ben said it so much better eloquently than I did. So that was perfect. like the mindset.
I had a head start on it.
you're on the same wavelength of what I was trying to be like. I just don't see the appeal to breaking the bank for Boyd. Like, he could prove me wrong. It's because it's not a full season we're talking about here. It's like, you know, four or five more starts, hopefully. So maybe it proves me wrong. I'm just very nervous, all things considered.
He's like a worse Andrew Heaney. Like, same idea, but Heaney's at least been better than Boyd, I think.
Great point. That's a phenomenal one. Kerry Carpenter returned from the IL, picked up in 131 leagues, as high as $79, as low as a buck. He had three home runs in his first two games since returning. He's hit safely in three of five games since returning on the season, .279 with 11 home runs. We know there's a lot of pop in that bat, decent batting average. Obviously made for a great pickup if you needed outfield help or power help. There wasn't a lot of other options of his caliber out there. I just get worried because Riley Green came back this weekend. There's a lot of moving parts to Detroit right now as they keep calling up these young guys. I'm not saying they're going to sit Carpenter, but he might get an extra game here or there, which makes things interesting. So I liked Carpenter. I put bids in on Carpenter, but I don't know if I got a ton of Carpenter. What were your thoughts on Kerry Carpenter?
Yeah, if you can afford to have a strong side platoon bat on your bench and sub him in whenever they have a righty heavy schedule, then I get adding Carpenter. I think his OPS is like close to 900 on the year. Like, so he's a great guy in small samples. It's just, when is he going to, like, when is the volume going to be there? And at least with my one main event, I'm already very platoon bat heavy on it. So I didn't really want to try to add another one to the mix. And he was scooped up a lot of places because everyone loves Kerry Carpenter, feels like, but the underlying stats are there. Great power numbers. He doesn't qualify, of course, because of the injury, but if he did, he'd have pretty close to the top of the percentile X slug. It's 570, which is that's very high for an X slug. His barrel rate is 17.5%. So Carpenter definitely mashes. He's one of the guys that, so he was like a slightly post 200 pick. Not that it really matters for here, but I'm always intrigued by where these platoon guys will go in drafts because they're definitely held back, kind of like with Jock Peterson and like some extent Garrett Mitchell, because these guys are on the top of my brain because I have them on teams, but. Yeah, Carpenter is good. It's just that if you need a lot more volume, he may not get it. You got to play the right weekly matchups and make sure that he's going to actually play. Because, like you mentioned, with the roster crunch the Tigers are having with getting everybody back and calling up all these guys, There's going to be lefties. He's probably not going to see the field, so he's got to make sure there's righties on the schedule for Carpenter.
Yep, totally agree. That's it. Just makes it tricky. But, you know, a couple years ago, didn't think there's this much platooning going on, but that's pretty much baseball now. So we have to adjust to it a little better and figure it out. And Carpenter's definitely one of those adjustments. As you said, next up here is a pitcher I was very interested in. And that is Martin Perez. Picked up in 108 leagues, as high as 66, as low as a dollar. Perez came over to San Diego at the trade deadline and made three starts so far. 18 and a third innings, four earned runs, 21 strikeouts. And that's supported by a 2.96 Sierra. They're not saying he's like massively overachieving. He's been very good. He's made a pitch mix change, which has helped a ton. So that's something else I'll keep in mind. This week, when you looked at Martin Perez, he had Minnesota, who we talked about. They have a lot of lefties. Martin Perez, left-handed pitcher. And then you have the Mets on the docket here. And next week he faces Tampa Bay. He's just been pretty darn good. So I liked Martin Perez this week.
I did too. So he's one of the guys I was debating starting. And I actually started Perez over Max Fried in that main event. It was tough. So with Perez, I have his last 2 weeks pulled up, his underlying numbers and the sheet that I have open. And so some red flags for me is that he has a 172 BABIP against over the last 2 weeks and 100 left on base percentage. But so he's definitely gotten lucky. And when you look at his opponents, Perez has not had the hardest schedule since he got traded. He faced the Rockies at home, then the Marlins, and then the Pirates. So it's great that he dominated. But I know people have been saying that Perez, I think he made a adjustment to his arsenal. Like with, yep. I forget what the actual change was, but that's promising to hear when you see the results. So you have to, it's tricky though, because you wonder, okay, how much is the pitch mix change versus the opponents? I'm sure it's some degree of both. And then I saw the underlying numbers with the BABIP and left on base, but his Sierra over the, so you said 296 over my period, 326. So that, no matter how you slice it, he's been really good. The one thing that's really good though, too, that's kind of rare for Perez is 13.1% swing strike rate over the last 2 weeks, which is really good. And only a 6% walk rate. So in his career, Perez has had trouble with walking batters, and his ball percentage over that time is only 36%, so which is about average. So he's at least throwing strikes, and it's helping him to have the success that he's had. It was just tricky with the matchups this week. And I thought like the way he's been pitching, and they're slightly above average, the Twins and the Mets versus lefties over the last couple of weeks. So I kind of roll with it. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite me, but we'll see. At least they're both at home. So I get why he was added in the OCs. Like people saw how well he's been pitching and the two starts. So it makes sense. It's just, it wasn't like a set it and forget it two-start week. I definitely had to do some thinking about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Very, very fair. The matchups have been kind, as you mentioned. Yeah. So definitely something there. Bowden Francis, this is a fun one. Picked up in 98 leagues, as high as 46, as low as a dollar. Spring training, everyone's yelling, hey, this is the fifth starter. Pick him up in DCs. Pick him up in the end of your drafts. And if you did that, you dropped him by now and probably picked him up again. But he's been very effective in his three starts since rejoining the rotation, I'll say, on August 7th. He's thrown 19 innings, three earned runs, 22 strikeouts, one walk, which I also want to mention. That's very impressive stuff about him, Francis. He gets the Angels this week, Boston next week, so maybe you sit him next week. But the Angels, another nice matchup. We were talking earlier in the show, you know, some two starts compared to one start. This is a pretty good one start on paper if we believe in what Bowden Francis is doing now. And the other thing I mentioned from that handy-dandy sheet you made there, Toronto has one of like the middle of the pack schedules, bottom middle of the pack, I should say, because it's I'm going to break it down game by game here to have even more fun to see if there's any good weeks coming up where Bowden Francis becomes viable. But it's like he gets Angels this week. Next week it's Boston, Minnesota, but then Philly, Atlanta. Atlanta could be interesting by then. Mets, St. Louis, Texas, Tampa, Boston, Miami. So it's going to be a start-by-start basis with Bowden Francis, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I wrote about him last week in my article, and I never ended up getting him.
Nailed it.
Yeah, but I didn't practice what I preached, unfortunately. And but I don't know. Hopefully people added him and they got that great two-start week that he ended up having. It was 15 Ks over 14 innings, only one earned run, and only four base runners over 14 innings. So that's one of the best weeks you ever see. And he got two wins out of it. It was a 0.27 whip last week and a 0.6 ERA. That's, you never see that. So he faced the same Angels last week in that two-start week, and then the Cubs. And the Cubs were a little tricky, but the Angels, I mean, they were definitely a target, and that's why I had my eye on Francis. But kind of like with Perez, this is the big underlying numbers. So Francis over the last 2 weeks has a 122 BABIP, which explains the such a low whip. So he's been a little lucky. Left on base was 96%, which is very high, very lucky as well. But he only walked 1.5% of batters. So he definitely earned a lot of the good fortune he had. It's just obviously you're not going to expect him to throw a shutout every game. But a lot of the underlying numbers back up the great performance. Like the swing strike rate was a 13.6%. He had a dark green on my sheet ball percentage of 27%, which is extremely low. That's awesome. So wasn't fluky with the walk rate. Yep. And I think your take on just picking the right matchups is true. I wouldn't trust them yet. But and also too with the Jays, the run support may not be the best. But yeah, in a good matchup, I definitely start them.
Yeah, I see. There's going to probably be out after the Angels this week. I think there's probably two or three other weeks I'll start him. Otherwise, he's going to be on the bench. But I don't feel like dropping him either. Now I'll see how the Angel starts go. That can change things, but yeah. A couple more here. Michael Kopech picked up in 96 leagues, as high as 135, as low as a dollar. Kopech was traded to the Dodgers, and he has made 4, 6, 9 appearances with the Dodgers. He's picked up saves in the last two outings. He has not allowed a run over those nine and a third innings with one walk and 13 strikeouts. So Kopech appears to be the dude for now. I'm still always nervous of Kopech, but he appears to have figured something out in LA, Ben. So any thoughts on Michael Kopech?
I wish the Dodgers would stop doing this because I don't know.
You and me both.
Yeah, I know you share that sentiment, but he's definitely the guy. I guess you agree with Dominguez over Kopech then in terms of...
Yes, I still think Dominguez was pretty much one of my top options, but because the only reason if Kopech was guaranteed the job, I would say it, but I don't trust David Roberts to guarantee the job to anybody. That's what holds me back just a little bit.
Yeah, well, they both had the last two save chances, I believe. Yeah. So I guess they're on equal footing in that regard. But yeah, it was, I don't know. If I had added Kopech as a closer spec, I feel pretty happy about the chances because of how the usage has been. And I mean, they went out and got him, and he was the closer for the White Sox and had his issues. But the Dodgers are so smart that they can figure things out. And they've already done it with Kopech. So yeah, I think he's a good save source going from here on out. They should win a ton of games, obviously. They're the Dodgers, so
yeah. I think I was just jaded because I had him with the White Sox, dropped him. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. He's a whip killer. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And here we go. He's
only 113 now on the season. That's how well he's pitched lately. It's
been pretty darn good. I'm not gonna really go over the rest of the guys because those are the main ads. Like IKF was picked up because he's been a utility guy playing pretty well. DJ Hurst, two steps. Spencer Torkelson's back. I don't believe it. Joey Bart, we've talked about plenty on this show. You should be adding him. Adrian Del Castillo's an awesome catcher too. Had a grand slam in his first at bat on Monday. And then it's just like, you know, Cody Bradford is filling in for now. Max Muncy off the IL. You mentioned Osvaldo Baido. It's a lot of kind of just fill in the blank spots the rest of the way here. So if you're ready, Ben, I'm ready to recap our fab from the week because, like I said, you can tell people have switched to a priority to football is the best way I'll put it.
Yeah. Main event's still competitive, so I give these guys credit and guys and girls for sticking to it. But, yeah, definitely another slow week just running out of fab. Main event one, I actually added – we didn't talk about him, but Keeter Montero. Yeah. He faces the Tigers, I believe, this week. I dropped Reese Olson, $4. This is the bad unicorn, $4, $4 backup. This team is kind of getting hit hard with the ratio, so it's fallen a little bit. I added Michael A. Taylor, who's now the almost everyday center fielder for the Pirates again. And they faced 3 out of 4 lefties to start the week. So I got him for the stream, dropped Miguel Vargas, which was a disaster. I got him for cheap, though, so it doesn't matter. $1, no backup. And then I added Trey Sweeney, dropped Enrique Hernandez, $1, no backup. And then I anticipated Kike losing playing time with Muncy coming back.
Well, the only cop, I agree, but we'll find out after this show. I wouldn't be shocked if Freeman goes to the IL with his finger injury, and that'll put Muncy to first base.
Yeah, but today I remember seeing the Freeman stuff, and I'm like, well, Kike was okay. He wasn't like the best.
Oh, he's not
he
was serviceable. By any means. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the eligibility is nice, but if you're take the upside with Sweeney, see what happens.
For sure.
So main two, this is the one that's competing for the overall. So I think you may have liked my tweet. So this is funny. I added Edwin Uceda. Dropped Grayson Rodriguez, $12, no backup. Uceda was actually my last conditional for this drop for $1. And then when I saw the Fairbanks news, I go, hey, well, maybe I'll try to boost him to the top of my list. We got him uncontested, but if anything, he's been getting a ton of Ks. He had 5 Ks last week in a win. three the week before. He had 8 Ks over 5 innings in week 19, 6 week before that with the great ratios. And he's actually from, he has a Dodgers hat on his NFBC page. So the Rays plucked him from the Dodgers, two great organizations. So I'm like, okay, well, why not? If he gets one save for me, that's great. It's just a ratio help and maybe an occasional save here and there. Then I added Nolan Gorman, dropped Jason Hayward, $6, $5 backup. So this team, I dropped Grayson, and then I also dropped Jonah Heim. I finally pulled the plug. I added Kyle Higashioka, dropping Heim, $5, no backup. Heim's, I think he played twice last week, or he started twice. Of course, he started today for the Rangers, but and I looked at Heim's rolling graphs because I really wanted to see if what's going on with him. Well, A, it's the playing time, so you can't really defend that if he's not playing, but he's gotten really unlucky, Heim. He hasn't really been striking out. The hard hit isn't that terrible. It's just they're not really giving him a chance to them being the Rangers to kind of break out of the slump. And even as a switch hitter, there's giving it to Carson Kelly, who we kind of know who Kelly is, and the Rangers aren't really competing. I guess Heim's more of their future. He's 29, but it just thinks that Heim is kind of losing a shot when I feel like he's had some bad luck lately. But I had to drop him. I needed some power, and I think Higashioka has some power. So we'll see what happens there. Main event three, I added Crawford, Cutter Crawford, dropped Aaron Bummer, $18, $14 backup. I added Brian Sammons for he's a two-star week, but he's a follower.
I'm all for it. Bloomfield made fun of me on Thursday night show for this one. I think Sammons is a very nice following pick.
Well, I'm sure you know his first game of the year, he went 7 1/3. And decent whip, only gave 5 runs. Everyone scored on him, but then he had a 4 1/3, 4 Ks, 5 2/3, 4 Ks, only like 1 run both times. So he's been pretty good. It's just, why not? This team isn't really competing, so I figured just take a chance. Dropped Mark Leiter, $4, no backup. Then I added Luke Raley, dropped Hayward, $4, $3 backup. I added Miguel Amaya, I dropped Jonah Heim again, $2, no backup. And then I added Joe Boyle, dropped Reese Olson, $1, no backup. Nice. And then my Olak. So I added Bowden Francis here. I dropped Reese Olson, $18, $5 backup. Then I streamed Keiter Montero again, dropped Taiwan Walker, $16, no backup. I added Jake Myers, dropped Jason Hayward, $6 to $1. And that's it for my 15s.
All righty. We'll go Bubba the Bloom, Listener League One here. You mentioned we didn't talk Keiter Montero. We didn't talk Andres Chaparro, but I've been big on him. He's hit safely in 4 of 6 games. He's getting called up by the Nats. 3 doubles along the way are 12.5% walks, 8% K power developed in the minors. So I picked him up, 5 runner-up 2. Dropped Dylan Carlson because I have tons of outfielders. I'm already regretting that. I'll probably be putting bids in for Carlson next week, but I got guys healthy this week. That was the problem. So I had too many outfielders. So Carlson was the casualty there. And then I had a waterfall of starting pitchers, but I don't have a lot of money. So lower on my waterfall, I picked up Grant Holmes for $1 and dropped Brooks Lee because he's pretty much on the IL and done. I know Grant Holmes could be out of the rotation with Ronaldo Lopez coming back. I hope Charlie Morton gets out of the way and they keep Grant Holmes. I don't know. I'm willing for a buck to see what goes on over like the next 7 to 10 days because Grant Holmes has been that good. So I put him in there for a buck and see where the cookies crumble on that one. Listener League 2, I actually didn't win a bid in that league. That's fun. Okay, move on from there. And then main event qualifier, Andres Chaparro dropped Dylan Moore 9-1 on that one. And that was it on that league. I didn't have a lot of 15-team moves. I had a lot of 12-team moves. So what did you have in your OC world?
My Yahoo world.
sorry.
Yahoo. Yeah, that's right. Yep, my daily league. So I added Sir Anthony Dominguez. I dropped Albert Suarez here. Remember, this is a daily league, no fab bidding. I dropped Ben Rice and Matt Wallner. I think I activated Nolan Jones and Connor Norby. I had them on my like stash side, so I activated those guys. And then I added Joey Bart and I dropped Jonah Heim for the third time. So I think I am Jonah Heim free now.
There you go.
Sad, but had to be done.
No, it does have to be done. So for me and my OCs, OC one added Bowden Francis, dropped DL Hall 4-0. Added Sir Anthony Dominguez, dropped Ty France. I streamed him for the week, got me a home run. Move on, 4-0. Added Eloy Jimenez, dropped Lane Thomas 3-0. I've been trying to draft Lane for a few weeks and finally happened in that one. OC2 added Zebby Matthews, dropped DL Hall 6-3. So I got to love OCs, folks. $6 in this one. And then Eloy Jimenez dropped Ty France 1 with no runner-up, 1-0. Then OC3 is always the one where you just got to look and go, hmm. And again, there was 10 total moves in OC2 this week. Only one had a runner-up bid, and that was Zebby Matthews. So everyone else, even Junior Caminero, 18-0. But for me, I got three ads this week. Sir Anthony Dominguez dropped Hayden Birdsong 8-0. Lucas Irseg dropped Max Scherzer 8-0. Eugenio Suarez dropped Michael Toglia 1-0. Toglia has lefties good. Maybe I should have kept them, but they're out of Coors. And I wanted that power because Arizona's got a lot of lefties they're facing this week, which bodes well. And Eugenio's actually been consistently good. And I picked up two closers in that league specifically because I've noticed I can gain more ground by getting like, I'm like 8 saves out of gaining like 4 points right now. So I'm going to start just pounding the saves department. That's kind of what we're doing this time of the year. So I went and got Sir Anthony. That's why I paid a little more than I think I needed to. Again, no runner-up bid. I know this league by now, but I wanted to get those closers. And I think Lucas Irseg is a beast. And he wasn't available in many leagues. So I was pretty fortunate in that one. But just for fun, I want to show people the what I said people are kind of checking out this year. And I know TGFBI gets its rap if it's not competitive. And some leagues are super competitive. Some aren't. Some are just depends on the week. Well, there was 6 total moves this week. 4 of them were by me. None of them with runner-up bids. So I'm just going to throw that one out there. I'm not going to go over who they were, but I just pulled it up because it made me chuckle quite a bit. All right. Let's take a look at some listener questions on this one real quick. And our buddy Joe G says, will Butler heat back up? That'd be Lawrence Butler, the lawman. Heat back up, or could he be dropped to a stream or for another bat? 12-team deep roto, need those homers again. I think he'll heat back up again, but if it's a 12-team league and you need power, feel free to stream elsewhere, get a Kerry Carpenter, but I don't know what you're streaming. So, yeah, what do you think, Ben?
So it really comes down to how much time that's left. So I pulled up Butler's I did 20-game rolling average because it doesn't have that big of an MLB career. And not surprisingly, he has this massive spike in the few weeks ago where in July where he had a 578 rolling WOBA. And that's when he was going off, and then he was added everywhere. And now he's coming back down the mountain. So I added with the WOBA his hard hit rate and his BABIP. So his BABIP peaked at 452 right around that same time, and his hard hit peaked around 51.7%. So now here in middle to late August, his BABIP is now down to 222. His WOBA is down to 262, and his hard hit's down to still a respectable 36.8%. So that massive hot streak obviously has gone away. And he's kind of like back in his career range, which is like an okay player with some power and speed upside. So I could see dropping him if you really needed to add a hot hand. But yeah, it's going to be like he definitely has a great Alec Butler, but it's just definitely cooled off a ton lately. And there's not much time for him to get back on track.
Yeah, the A's faced 6 righties this week in 7 games. Like I have Seth Brown playing first base in the league. In the same league, I have Butler on the bench because I had better outfield options. I think J.J. Bleday is a better option right now than Lawrence Butler. It's just these type of players, you play the hot hands, you move on. That's the way it works. Like Butler's skills are very good. We've seen them. He's just not consistently that skilled guy at this point in time in his career. And a lot of these guys aren't. So you go, you churn, you burn. They might heat up again and burn you, but more often than not, if you play the game right, you're going to be just fine. So I haven't dropped him yet. He's on my benches. But, you know, this Sunday, if he has another bad week, he's an easy drop for me. So just kind of play your games and feel free to stream away if you need to. Stephen Crawford says, any thoughts on Caminero versus Vientos to replace Riley for the rest of the season? I'm still a Mark Vientos guy. I'm not in on Caminero. Rookies need to prove themselves a little bit to me. So I'm team Vientos. Plus, I think the Rays will play with some roster management to keep him a rookie for next year. So I'll go Mark Vientos. What about you?
Yeah, we share the same sentiment with the rookie bias. And Vientos has been so good. The only thing that's really been an issue for him is his average. Kind of striking out a lot, but I remember there was talk when Caminero came up, people were surprised he came up as early as he did, and they may play some tricks with his playing time, Junior Caminero, so I would probably lean Vientos as well.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. Wave Boy has a question. Does Ryan Nelson stick in the Arizona rotation? They said they don't want to go 6-man. So yeah, we've already had fun with that discussion last week, Ben. Remember, that was fun. Ended up pitching Friday, pitched to Jim. And now we're here sitting again on Monday, and you're sitting there going, huh, what are we doing this week? Because nothing's official. Right now, he's technically not in the rotation. He's in the bullpen. That seems to be the direction they're going with Ryan Nelson. But I'm just waiting for him to pitch again towards the end of the week and tick all of us off. But it feels like he's heading to the bullpen for now until someone else gets banged up.
Yeah, it was fun when I texted you midweek and I said, hey, look at Nelson's stat line on my bench. It's awesome. Yep. But I don't want to forget, though, so that we discussed the D-back schedule. They have the six worst pitching schedule, projected-wise, at least, rest of the season. And there's no spot for Nelson, as you said. So even if he does go in the rotation for whatever reason, he probably won't have a tough time repeating his performance. But, I mean, out of the bullpen at pitching two or three innings, and like a Jose Budo role, I could see him having value. It's just if you can afford to he could get a win there, but it's going to be very hard to come by, especially with these matchups that they have. But, I feel like his time's kind of gone, Nelson. It's unfortunate, but maybe there's always next year.
Yep, definitely. He also, Wave Boy also asked, Matthew Boyd versus Grant Holmes versus David Festa rest of season. If Holmes is in the rotation, it's Holmes easy for me. And then it's tough. I like Festa a lot, but it's inconsistent. Boyd, we talked about Boyd. So I'm going to say Holmes is a clear one if he's in the rotation. But what do you say? But Holmes, Boyd, and David Festa.
So I'm going to use our little tool we have here. So the Braves, they're kind of middle of the pack. The Twins are a little bit worse. And then the Guardians are – where are the Guardians? They're all in the middle. Yeah, I definitely have Boyd last. I don't have any of these guys rostered, but Holmes does have really good outings lately. And see, so yeah, I'd agree with you. Holmes, Festa, and then Boyd probably.
Yeah, and Boyd could prove us wrong. He's got the skills to do it. I haven't seen those skills displayed consistency. And I don't need to repeat myself, but we expressed right. Our thoughts with Boyd, and he might have a couple big starts. He also might have some big starts the other direction. So buyer beware on that one. That'll do it, Ben. That'll wrap us up on another episode of Benched with Bubba. Any final thoughts as we head into week 23? I guess it's week 22 of action, technically, because we just did Fab, but I think, if I'm doing it right. But we're getting close to the end. That's all I know. And it's crunch time, like how we said, we started the show, setting lineups and getting crunchy. Well, lineups are set until Friday, at least. Now he's got to sit back and take the pain. So any final thoughts?
Yeah, so it's a six more weeks, five more Fab periods. And just be careful with those ratios. I think it was Todd Zola who tweeted it, and he was saying that in all of his years playing fantasy baseball, especially rotisserie, he says that the ratios can move the most at this point in the year. But as I read that, I go, well, I've been targeting the other stats more in the back of the mind, always assuming good ratios. Like that's always the goal too, is not to ruin your ratios for the most part. So just keep that in mind if you're playing Roto and you're trying to chase the championship, or if you're in an overall and like the CLQ or something or whatever, DC overall, just keep that in mind with ratios. It can, especially now with, like, we went over all the rough roads ahead that these teams have pitching wise, these offenses are heating up, and it's rough out there. So just be careful. And like I always say, thanks again for having me on. It's always fun. Look forward to the next time.
Most definitely, man. Always a great time. Doing it at the same bat time, same bat channel next week. We'll have some more fun recapping another week of Fab. And as the season goes on, I'm always thinking Fab's going to start getting worse and worse, but there's little nuggets every week. So it's been fun, and filling in those holes to maximize potential, as someone does when they're going to be fighting for the top 10 in an overall at some point later this season. So keep rooting for Ben on this one, and we'll get the updates week to week and see how it goes. But until next time, make sure you check out Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. His work over there at SportsEthos.com. I'm on Twitter @BDEndrick. And until next time, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 684. Catch y'all later.